You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon on assignment in Manhattan.
Tony Kornheiser. I didn't know there were golf courses in Manhattan. Really?
Yeah, Tone, right across the river. I can, you know, take a little gondola. You know, Greeny may host me. You know, he's a member of somewhere up here. You know, it's golf up here.
Yeah, I think, I think there are golf courses in Queens, and I think there may be some in the Bronx. It's possible, but I don't think in Manhattan. I don't think so.
No, not Manhattan. Not Manhattan. Not that 7 miles.
No, not in Brooklyn either, I don't think. Maybe. Welcome, PTI, treasured viewers who wrote that. In today's episode, Baker Mayfield is hurting, Russell Westbrook is struggling, and Giannis Antetokounmpo is still rolling. But we begin today with the Dodgers, suddenly and powerfully getting back into the NLCS. Down 2-0 in games and down by 3 runs in the bottom of the 8th last night, Cody Bellinger swung at a pitch about eye level and blasted a 3-run homer to tie the game. 3 batters later, Mookie Betts' double drove in Chris Taylor to give the Dodgers a lead. Kenley Jansen closed out the Braves in style, striking out the side. Wilbon, should the Dodgers feel confident or just relieved?
Supremely confident, Tony. I'm going to tell you something insane. After I got your text last night, which was pretty pessimistic, down 5-2, yes. You had almost given up. And I'm like, Tone, come on.
Yes.
Well, Tony, when I thought even down 3-0, and I know this is insane, what I'm about to say, but I thought the Dodgers aren't done. They can come back from 3-0. They're actually a team that can come back from 3-0. And the Braves have had, you know, I mean, they've won, but they've had plenty more misery in the postseason over the last, I don't know, 25 years. So I didn't think it was over even if they had gone down 3-0. And when he hits that pitch,
really?
Bellinger hits a pitch that's a little league pitch. Guys don't even swing at pitches there after they're 12 years old. And he hit it out, and it ties the game, and you go, okay, it's done. It's done now. That's a series-changing swing. I feel 100% certain the Dodgers are now going to win, and given their season and beating the Giants, they got to feel that way too.
So I'll get to that stuff in a second, but I want to go to the pitch that Bellinger hit. It was 2 feet out of the strike zone. It was so high, it was like a street sign. That's how high it was. And those next-gen kind of stats, they tell you that since the 2008 postseason, no one has homered on a pitch that high. And that Cody Bellinger, in his entire major league career, has never even gotten a hit on a pitch that high hard.
It's a little league swing.
I don't feel confidence yet, okay, because I thought that they were going out, and it doesn't matter what I think. Dave Roberts, the manager, is a direct quote, we were dead in the water. The Dodgers had to win that game. Mike, they used 21 players, 9 pitchers. The box score is 5 pages long. That's how desperate they were to win. Now, I think you could be confident if you win game 4, and you've got Urias pitching, who's the only guy in the majors to win 20 this year. But until then, I would feel relieved more than I would feel confident.
Listen, I don't have skin in the game, even though I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I don't have skin in the game. So I can say this and be arrogant about it because I have no nervousness. It's not my team. This thing's over. The Dodgers won the series last night. You know how their series, when you say the next winner of this next game wins?
Yes,
that swing won the series, Tony. Series over.
That swing, what did he hit during the regular season? 165
like 150
or something like
that? A little league moment. But that's what baseball is.
Wow.
The greatest moments are moments that take you back to your childhood. And some kid in your neighborhood named Mookie, not that Mookie, hits it out of the little league ballpark with 2 feet over his head. That's it.
Mike,
we've seen that, man.
That
I've seen
pitch,
that since I was 9 years
That pitch
years
was
old.
Out of Shaquille O'Neal's strike zone.
Yes, it
that's
was.
That's how high that pitch was.
It was higher than the letters. Jeez. Let's move to the opening night in the NBA, where the Warriors handled the Lakers at Staples. LeBron and Anthony Davis both put up big numbers, 67 points between them. But the newest member of LA's Big Three, Russell Westbrook, really struggled. He had just 8 points on 4-for-13 shooting, 4 turnovers, and a plus-minus tone of, get this, minus 23. So, what, if anything, do you read into Westbrook's struggles?
I don't read too much into it because I think there are a lot of extenuating circumstances. He's on a brand new team, and it's not his team. It's his third team in 3 years. It's not his team. It belongs to LeBron James and Anthony Davis. He's not the cheese on this team. He's got to learn to fit in, and you can only learn to fit in. Exhibition games mean nothing. You have to have, it's just like football. You need game speed. You need to know that this means something, and that's how you fit in. And there's more to it than that. This is a different circumstance for him. He grew up near Los Angeles. He went to UCLA. He rooted for the Lakers his entire life. I would guess, Mike, that he was more nervous about this game than any game since he's a rookie. Last year, he went to the Wizards, and he had triple-doubles right away, but they only had one established player, Bradley Beal, and he didn't want the ball as much as Westbrook wanted the ball. And it's different in another way. Westbrook had no particular media spotlight in Oklahoma City or Houston. He had a marginal spotlight in Washington for a few months. This is Hollywood. This is different. Boston and L.A., that's the NBA. So I don't read anything into it yet, do you?
Now, I'm going to agree with all the premises that you said. I agree every word you said except the part where I don't read. Tony, when LeBron James has the ball, Russell Westbrook is in a completely unfamiliar position to his entire career. Completely unfamiliar. And I think that Russell Westbrook, in order to be Russell Westbrook, to find that rhythm, he needs usage. He needs to have the ball. And I think he needs to come off the bench. I think he needs to be the guy who's with the second unit. That doesn't mean he doesn't start the game. Scottie Pippen started the game, and he played most of his years with the second unit of the Bulls, because if Russell Westbrook is on the second unit, leading it when Trevor Ariza gets back and Talen Horton get back and all of that, Tony, they'll be the best bench in the NBA, because Russell Westbrook can then take the lead of that group. He can still finish. He can start and finish, but in the middle, Tone, and he's got to make the suggestion. I mean, this is not Vogel. It's not even LeBron. Mike, I mean, Russ has got to go to them and say, let's try it this way.
Mike? This is an MVP. This is a Hall of Fame player. Do you think at this stage of his career he wants to be affiliated with the second unit? Do you think he can
Tony,
do that?
Tony, here's what he wants to be affiliated with. A ring. He wants a ring, Tony. Okay. That's what he's doing at this stage. And to get it, I don't think this is going to work where he's picking up the crumbs from LeBron and AD. He still needs to be Russell Westbrook. And he can be all
I'm just
of that
point
in a different
out.
Capacity.
This is the great geezer experiment, and we won't really know about it until February. But Dwight Howard and Carmelo Anthony and Rajon Rondo combined for 5-for-15. So all those guys, and Westbrook had the worst first half of his life, Mike. He had 2 points, 1 rebound, and an assist. All of those guys can go up because they can't go much further down than what they did last time.
But if they're playing with Russ, Tony, if Dwight Howard and Carmelo Anthony are on the second unit with Westbrook, that thing can be glorious.
We'll
and they can
it's
win,
a very
and he'll
good
still
suggestion.
Be. How about sixth man of the year? He hasn't done that yet.
I want to know if he wants to do it, but I like the suggestion. We go to football. The Cleveland Browns announced today that a torn left labrum will keep Baker Mayfield out of tomorrow night's game against Denver. And that will be the first start Mayfield has missed since getting the quarterback job in 2018. The Browns will start Case Keenum. Wilbon, how should the Browns feel about the state of Baker Mayfield?
Not good. They should feel very concerned. I'm not saying they can't win with Case Keenum, but it just seemed he had turned the corner. Like all was coming together with the Browns, who many picked to challenge the Chiefs, you know, at the top of the AFC this year. And it seemed like things were coming together for the way he was playing, for the way he was perceived by doubters like me who looked at the commercials and thought, my God, I'm doing a 180 on this guy right now because the commercials are unbelievably charming.
Yes.
But when you have these injuries, I know it's to the off arm. So what, man? This is football. Baker Mayfield's got to be one of the toughest guys out there pound for pound. Because when it comes to size, he's not a big guy, but he's a tough guy. And if he's got this problem and he can't get himself out there, that's serious, Tone. I think the Browns have to be concerned.
So I know that I said on this show on Monday that I was sick of the Browns and I never wanted to hear about the Browns and the Browns in the Super Bowl because they're not a Super Bowl team. I had Booger McFarland on my podcast this morning. He's really good. And he said, back off a second. Mayfield's been hurt for a while. He's been playing hurt. He said their offensive tackles, they're hurt. They're probably out. Their running backs, top running backs are definitely out. Their top wide receivers are hurt and maybe out. He said Cleveland's a mess. And what they've got to do is not worry about this. They've got to worry about starting in week 12, 13, 14, winning a bunch of games to get into the playoffs. Now, I still think they can beat Denver because Denver was 3-0, but
collapsed.
They beat the Jaguars, the Giants, and the Jets, three teams that stink. And they are now 3-3, which is what we call collapsing. And I know that Von Miller has said, Denver's going to win this game, and I'm going to kill whoever's playing in front of me. But I think that Cleveland can win this game. On the greater picture of Baker Mayfield, I don't think he's great, but I think he's good. And part of me thinks he's good enough to win with a good team. I just don't know what's going to happen. Case Keenum was great a few years ago.
He was.
With Minnesota.
He had a stretch.
And, you know, his quarterback coach there was Stefanski, Kevin Stefanski, who's now the head coach of Cleveland.
That's
so, I mean, I don't think Keenum's bad, but I do, as you do, I worry about Mayfield. I don't know what his future is.
Yeah, these injuries, man.
Don't know.
Who knows?
Don't know. All right, let's take a break. We're coming up. What can we reasonably take away from the Bucks blowout of the Nets?
Bucks look good. That's what we can take away from the Bucks. And should we be paying more attention to the numbers the two Edmonton Oilers are stacking up? Second
unit,
Tony.
So you think Westbrook can sort of sublimate his own ego and he can be a sixth?
His determination is his greatest asset. His determination.
Pardon the interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Dr. Kornheiser is scrubbed up and ready to pull some words out of his notepad. What's first? Yeah.
The Bucks' 23-point win over the Nets was blank.
It was personal. Okay, you're the Milwaukee Bucks. You just won the NBA title in June. And for the next 4 months, all you heard was that the Nets are so good that they're the favorite in your conference. Okay? For months and months. Oh, when the Nets get healthy. Oh, when the Nets are together. That we've never seen anything like it. So if you are the Milwaukee Bucks, you feel pretty good about beating the Nets by, say, 23 points. I understand it's just one game. I'm not going to ascribe anything dramatic to it. But the fact of the matter is that the Milwaukee Bucks won the thing. And they don't care if Kyrie Irving gets vaccinated or moves to London. They're not interested in that. They're interested in what they can do. Antetokounmpo, let me put on these glasses here. 32 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists. So the Nets can chew on that for a while.
The 23-point win was instructive, Tone, to people like me, who was one of the people chirping about Brooklyn. And it's like, hey, shut up and pay attention. The champs are the champs. I learned from a scruffy old sports writer like you sitting next to you for years and years and decades ago when you would say, hey, shut up. They're the champs. And this reminded me of that, Tony. I mean, these guys are made men. Middleton, you know, is a made man. Drew Holiday, they come back in full of confidence, brimming with confidence. I don't even need to talk about the recent MVP. And then you got like get a guy like Grayson Allen, who comes in and he joins the champs and he's putting on the jersey and it feels like some kind of force field. They're the champs, man. And it's instructive to all of us to shut up about Brooklyn at least for a minute.
Next.
What Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have done through the Oilers' first three games is blank.
It's Gretzky and Messier-like. It's the same city. It's Edmonton. Those two guys won four cups together in Edmonton. That's when Wayne Gretzky was having point totals that nobody has ever seen before or since. These two fellas, McDavid and Draisaitl, in three games, all wins, by the way, they have 16 points. 8 points each over three games. If you go back to last season, McDavid now has 42 points in his last 16 regular season games. That's enormous. That's on pace for 215. You know, he's the only guy who's ever had 215 in a year. That's Wayne Gretzky. Now, I'm not going to talk about the playoffs and how bad they were last year in the playoffs. October. We're not talking about playoffs.
We're not talking about that.
But if I lived in Edmonton, I'd feel pretty good about these two guys because the last time I won a cup was 31 years ago.
Tony, I feel great. If I lived in Edmonton or I was an Oilers fan, I'd feel great. But you mentioned the playoffs. Tone, they lost early in the playoffs. They've never gone anywhere. They finished 1-2 and then 1-2 and the other way around. So, Tone, it's about time. About time to win some of these games. Look, what Gretzky did and what Gretzky and Messier did and Jari Kurri, and they won. They won so big that even when Gretzky left, they forgot how to lose and they won then. About time. They got to start winning. Those point totals have to be justified.
That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Michael Wilbon announces whether he is bullish on the Bulls.
The Packers defense appears to be getting a boost. Ball night.
And even if you're not bullish on the Bulls, we're going to be listening to you talk about them for the next 8 months because that's what you
maybe do. You know, 8 months if they're good, if they're going to make the playoffs, only 4 months if they, you know, fall down.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 71st birthday, Isaac Curtis. Curtis is one of the best wide receivers to ever play for the Cincinnati Bengals. He made four Pro Bowls, and he was Ken Anderson's top target in the 70s and 80s. Over 12 seasons, Curtis caught 416 passes for 53 touchdowns. His most impressive statistic was averaging 17.1 yards per catch, a number exceeded by only two active players, Josh Gordon and DeSean Jackson. Curtis had 9-3 speed when 9-3 speed meant something. He was so fast that defensive backs would clutch and grab and hold him all over the field. Team owner Paul Brown, who drafted Curtis because of that speed, complained about the treatment Curtis was receiving. And the NFL established a rule that defenders could not touch a receiver after he got 5 yards downfield from the line of scrimmage. This became known then, Mike, as the Isaac Curtis rule.
Isaac Curtis was such a beast. And Tony, he went down the field. There's no 3-yard passes and these little hitches and hitch and go. No. You're a big wide receiver. You got a quarterback with an arm like Kenny Anderson. You took your butt down the field. That's 17-yard average. is amazing considering nobody does that anymore. Loved Isaac Curtis. Loved
Walker. He had close to like Olympic sprint speed. He really did. Happy anniversary,
yes,
Julius Erving. On this day, 45 years ago, God, I am old, the Philadelphia 76ers purchased Dr. J's contract from cash-strapped New York Nets owner Roy Bohl for $6 million. Dr. J had just won his second ABA title and was promised a raise. But the Nets were transitioning from the ABA to the NBA, and the Knicks demanded $5 million from the Nets for invading their territory. Bohl offered Erving to the Knicks if they would drop their claim, and the Knicks stupidly refused. Erving went to the Sixers in a trade that left the Nets in ruins. They promptly finished 22-60, the worst in the league. Erving went on to become an 11-time All-Star, the league MVP, and the champion in 1983, the Fo-Fo-Fo team. Erving wore number 32 for the Nets, but 6 in Philadelphia, which I always thought, Mike, honored his price tag.
That's interesting, Tony. You know Julius Erving well. One of the great disappointments of my life was when I got to know the Doc enough not to be terrified to even ask him a question. I asked him once what kind of ball player you were. He said you were pretty good. I know this is ruining my image of Tony being pretty good from Julius Erving.
No,
oh, my God. Can't get enough of the Doc.
One Long Island boy to another. Very kind of him to say that. Happy trails to Marvin Bagley's role with the Sacramento Kings. According to Bagley's agent, the number 2 overall pick in the 2018 draft has been told he's not in the Kings' opening game rotation tonight. Reportedly, Kings coach Luke Walton is going with a smaller lineup to feature 3 guards, which will at least temporarily squeeze Bagley's playing time. Bagley's agent, Jeff Schwartz, has been agitating to get Bagley traded for more than a year. And Bagley's father recently tweeted, "Trade Marvin Bagley," and then he deleted it. Bagley averaged 14.1 points and 7.4 rebounds last season, starting 42 of the 43 games he played. Those numbers don't seem bad, though Bagley has been nagged with injuries while in Sacramento. Schwartz called these moves, quote, "a case study in mismanagement by the Kings organization," unquote. The Kings, by the way, haven't made the playoffs in 15 years.
That had to be back in the Weber, Stojakovic, Mike Bibby. That had to be back then when Sacramento was really close. But Tom Bagley, it seemed to me, was just starting to turn the corner and come into his own. And then you hear this, it's like, okay, you know, maybe he can do this. Maybe he can fully turn the corner somewhere else.
Yeah, it feels like he ought to be going somewhere else. Let's go to the big finish.
Former
Texans pass rusher Whitney Mercilus will reportedly sign with the Packers. How do you feel about that?
You know, the good organizations, they wind up getting people to help them get better and be really good, and the bad ones just don't seem to know how to acquire players. Fired Washington State coach Nick Rolovich will pursue legal action against the university. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are is that he's not going to win the suit, because if he wants to be the coach, all he has to do is get the shot. That's all he has to do.
That's it.
Right. Speaking of this, Australia says Novak Djokovic needs to be fully vaccinated if he wants to defend his Australian Open title. Whoa, what do you think about that?
It makes sense. I'm sitting here in New York City where a lot of this discussion emanates from. Good for them. High school athletes in New York State can now get name, image, and likeness deals. Okay, by you?
I'd have cleaned up in high school. Cleaned up. I'd be rich. Last one. Your Bulls at the Pistons. What do you expect?
All right. Cade Cunningham is out with an ankle injury. Missed all preseason. I think the Bulls, who have a lot of buzz, Tony, are going to come out strong. They need to stay healthy. But I'm looking forward to this for the first time in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, the Bulls season.
A lot of buzz? Really? Not in this house.
Yep.
We're out of time.
There is.
We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're not paying attention. You're giving to the Shield. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. Join Greeny, Stephen A., Jalen, and me on NBA Countdown at 7 p.m. And before that, we're taking over SportsCenter starting now. Tone, you can go home. We don't need you.